This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Should we talk about Bristol City? Monday, short turnaround, and they are coming into it off the back of a victory over Leicester on Friday. So even though their form under Manning there has been a bit of a mixed bag and they only sit 14th in the table, a little bit of extra confidence, surely you'd have thought from that game. Sam, how are you feeling? I know you've talked about previously about how you're very pessimistic for Monday. Is there any particular reasons that you're pessimistic and why you don't think maybe the slightly better performance against Norwich will translate to a victory on Monday?
Yeah, because I think there was a better performance at Middlesbrough and that translated then to a poor home performance against Ipswich. There was a better away performance at Blackburn, which then translated to a poor home performance against Preston. And it's a better away performance again, which I think logically there's a fair chance it will do the same thing as the last two did and then translate to a poor home performance. That and also I've got slight, bad memories of playing at home to a team managed by Liam Manning and featuring Scott Twine. I think if that goes anything like the last game against those two individuals, then it will be a very traumatic day indeed. I'm obviously joking, you know, with that. There's nothing to say that will necessarily be the same. And Scott Twine is actually not really stepped up that well to championship level compared to what many people thought he would do. But blimey, that day on the final day against us when we lost to MK 5-0, he was absolutely incredible, wasn't he? And absolutely tore us open. Probably the best performance by an opposing player I can remember at Home Park. He was absolutely superb that day. And I think this is the first time he's played against us since, I think. He's obviously a threat. They're a very inconsistent team. I think one thing that does go in our favour is that maybe if you look at the teams Bristol City have done well against, it's not really us. They're a bit of a fluky team. Not fluky, but they're an erratic team in the sense that they tend to beat the bigger teams and lose to the weaker teams more than average. And look, if you look at the teams we've done well against this season under Foster, Middlesbrough, maybe even Swansea, although as Ben said, Swansea was a bit of an XG fluke. But if you look at the games we've won under Foster, they are the games against possession-heavy teams that leave themselves open at the back. Certainly Middlesbrough was that. And you know what? I think Bristol City and the banning on that as well. So if there's one thing that gives me a bit of hope, it's the fact that Bristol City are a possession-heavy team who leave themselves open at the back. And that's something that I think is a style of play which we could do well against. But equally, our home form is very, very poor and our home performances are very, very poor. So I'm not massively optimistic either. I think we could get a draw. I think we probably will get a draw, but I don't think we're going to win.
All that pessimism and you still think we might get a point, which is better than what we've been doing recently.
Well, yeah, Ben, because surely we can't. We that was five bloody home games in a row. Anyway, I'll let someone else answer the other questions because I'm rambling again and I still can't get my teeth in.
As Sam says, on paper, in terms of how they play and how Foster wants us to play, high press and, you know, regain the ball, build up, find the overloads, we might actually, you know, theoretically do okay if we can execute as we did against Norwich. Will it happen? There's so many factors to consider here, including things like the atmosphere. You know, if the stewards are a bit, you know, if the stewards have been asked to sort of clamp down on dissent, perhaps, then all of a sudden where people going along to support the team might find themselves a little less positive, supportive than they might have been. If there's an outbreak of anti-Foster sentiment, will some other fans, you know, pipe up and tell them to shut up? Will there be discord in the Devonport in block 16? There's all these kind of things to think of. Hopefully, if everyone decides to turn, I'm not saying they should because everyone's free to do whatever they want to do, but if everyone can turn up and really get behind the team and, you know, and really try and be that 12th man, and try and be the difference and remind the players that we are still behind them, which I think everyone's been doing a pretty good job of, to be fair. As Sam said, you know, I think the players know when they got applause away, they've been getting pretty regular support from the, you know, from the stands and, you know, before and after games when they're warming up and when they come and clap the players. But I think if we can sort of provide the environment for them to go and play and Foster gets the tactics right, which, but let's face it, are going to be the same tactics we've played for the past 13 games because it's all we seem to be doing. Then yeah, we might be able to get something. That the question is, are Bristol City going to turn up? Because the Bristol City are on paper a better team than us. And as I said, the problems with this style is that if the other team plays better than you, doesn't matter how well you play in this system, you're likely to get beaten because you produce low opportunities and are expected to reduce the opponent to low opportunities. If you're playing a better team than you, that's not going to work out, you know, to your advantage. So I think we have the potential to get a result. It would depend which Bristol City turn up. I'd like Leicester to be just as rubbish as they are right now when we get to play them, please and thank you. Let's hope they're still in that same run of form, but probably they'll decide to turn it all around against us. So I don't think there's much you can take from that last result in terms of, oh, they're on a flyer. But they looked pretty good in that game, I must say. So I'm not convinced we will get anything. I got Preston result right. I said 2-0 against Norwich. So I've got to take this one seriously so I can sort of build up a reputation for being pretty good. Let's say 2-1 Bristol City. I think it could just be a couple of moments of quality. Now that Sam has set Scott Twine up an absolute beauty, by talking about how disappointing he's been in the Championship, let's say he's going to get a brace and one of them will just be a worldie we can't do anything about. But it's just that's the way we are at the minute. It's sort of like throw a dart. We're not going to score more than a couple, you imagine, unless someone pulls off some individual brilliance. So it'll depend on how City play, rather than really on what we can do, I think, sadly.
Maybe if Scott Twine does score on Monday now, Sam will have to go alongside Ian Foster. Joe, team for Monday. Would you make any changes?
Yeah, I think there probably will be changes. Just very quickly on Bristol City, I'm more than happy for Aaron to clip this up for a TikTok or something. I just think they're a really average Championship side. I think they're one of those teams that just often gets stuck in a rut where they'll go on a good run and look like they're about to, you know, break the ceiling, and then they'll just have an awful result that'll leave them a bit of egg on their face. Then they'll go on a horrible run then of five or six results that'll send them back down to 15th, 16th. Then they'll go on another run again. I watched the game yesterday lunchtime against Leicester City, and I thought they were absolutely outstanding, causing Leicester all sorts of problems. However, I suspect that was because they were playing Leicester City and they raised their performance levels by 15, 20%. You know, they've got some very good players all over the pitch. The lad, Conway up front? They've got Twine. Anis Mameti is one we know all about from his Wickham days. Scored a brilliant strike yesterday. The keeper, O'Leary, had the game of his life. They've got Zach Viner at the back. Obviously, somebody we know very well. And there's a centre-half. There's Dickey, isn't it? Rob Dickey used to play for QPR. He's at the back for them as well. So they've got good players. I think they've got a good young progressive manager who, as Sam says, likes to play with the ball on the ground and a possession-based style. But I think this really is two teams that are very Jekyll and Hyde coming up against one another. You don't really know which performance you're going to get out of either of them. You can't be confident in either way. Anyway, that's my tangent for the night done with. You asked me about the team. So I think Cooper will start. That's the one I'm absolutely... there's a couple I'm convinced about. Cooper will start. Whittaker will be on the right wing and Ryan Hardy will be through the middle. The rest of it, I think, is perhaps a little bit more fluid. So Bali Mumba's obviously coming back off suspension. He's now available. I fully expect him to start. I would be amazed if he didn't. I expect Joe Edwards to start on the right. So I would probably expect Mumba on the left, Joe Edwards on the right. As for what's at the back, are we going to get another game out of Galloway with all that travelling, the international minutes straight into the team on Friday? Can we get another game out of Galloway? If we can, fantastic. Gibson will be back there. And whether or not this is popular or not, I think we're in the period now where just any experience is necessary. And I think this is the perfect game for Dan Scar to get a run out in the side. Then you've got midfield-wise, I would imagine Forshaw and Houghton probably. It's nothing against Randall. Nothing at all against Randall. But again, I just think we're in a situation now where whilst we lack a bit of experience at this level within the squad, any player who's got experience is going to be vital to us, because it's the old adage of, you know, we're going over the top of the trenches now and we need everyone to come with us and give 100%. So we want to throw as much experience at a game like this as we can. And then you're then looking at that left side. Do you go with Devine again? Do you go with Bundu? I think it's really unfortunate what's happened to Darko JB. You know, it was a proper... I've said that I was on with Gab Sutton in the week. And it was a proper punch in the gut, this news about Darko JB, because I really felt we were starting to see the best of him when we started to push him forward into that more attacking role. So it's a shame what's happened to him. You would probably stick with Devine, I would suggest. I know there's a big clamouring for Bundu, and if he goes with Bundu, then so be it. But I think you'll probably go with Devine. So that would be what I would... I mean, that's what I expect him to go with. Is that the team that I would go with? Absolutely not. I've been saying for weeks I'd be going to a 4-2-3-1, because I think that system suits us better than any formation. I know it's not a game of Football Manager where you're in a bad run, you can go to Geigen press mentality and just go to 4-2-3-1 and you go on a mad unbeaten run. But I do sort of feel like 4-2-3-1 is a shape that will see us at our very best. That's my uneducated, unprofessional football brain thinking. So that's what I expect to come from the team. And as the comment said earlier, we get the diminutive Mr. Keith Stroud to preside over proceedings. So what could possibly go wrong?
I'm sure we'll get a very good report segment out of it Tuesday.
When Keith Stroud's involved, there will be a very good ref watch on Tuesday.
Sam, your thoughts on the team? Do you agree with Joe? Would you go to a back four?
I would go to a back four.
I don't think they're actually doing it.
No. Look, I think even if not, I absolutely would play Randall in there over four. So I think Randall was actually our best player yesterday. I think certainly in the first half when we had our good attacking moments, and in the second half when we were looking comfortable for the first 15, Randall was really, really good in that style. He was getting the ball, he was breaking up play, he was passing intelligently into space and advancing the ball for us. I've made no secret of the fact that I do think Randall has had a bit of a hot and cold season. There are times where he's a little bit struggled stepping up, but he's had some really good games as well. And I think yesterday was one of them. I'm kind of a little bit surprised I've not seen a lot of praise of Adam for his performance in Norwich, because I do think he was really good and I do think he was our man of the match. I get the point Joe's saying about experience and leadership and so on, but you can be a leader at 23 years of age with 100 odd appearances today. And I think Adam Randall absolutely is. I think if you go on, not necessarily minutes under the belt or games under the belt, if you go on how they conduct themselves on the pitch, I think Adam Randall is a real leader on the pitch. He's very vocal. If you look at him, he's always pointing or gesticulating. And when Whittaker had his little moment of having a spat with Gibson up at Blackburn, Randall got between the two of them and just calmed them both down. So I think he's a critical player for us in that regard. And Forshaw did nothing when he came on yesterday, by the way. Really poor. I'm not against Forshaw overall. When he came on at Blackburn, I thought he was pretty good. But we were really poor when he came on yesterday, I have to say. Lots of sort of, you know, times where he just got the ball and just had a pass on and just dithered and didn't make it. And the moment was gone. I really don't think he was impressive, I have to say. So I would go Randall and Houghton if it's going to be a normal formation. I would go four at the back. I'd go 4-3-3 with Houghton as the deepest of the three, because that was where we thrived so well in the early part of the season. I'd go Randall and Devine as the two other CMs. And I would probably go Mumba in the front three. Mumba, Hardy, Whittaker. I've seen a couple of comments asking about Devine. Are we not getting the best of him? And sorry if I'm treading on Stan's ground as host by bringing up comments that he hasn't mentioned. But I do want to reply to that one, if that's okay. I think, yes, absolutely. I think he's a talented player. The issue is he's not getting into games as a wide midfielder at all, as a winger, whatever you want to call it. He's not getting into games. But when he gets into deeper areas, he can ping out a really nice pass for the deeper area. He can spray the ball out. He can do a nice little flick of quick thinking. I think he's got a lot of quality about as a player. I think he's in both a team culture, style of football environment that isn't good for him. And I think B, he's in a formation / position that isn't good for him. I think if you got him into an attacking team in a 4-3-3 as one of the two number eights, he would be a real good player. I really do think that. And I think that's going kind of dovetailing in with Stan's question about team selection. That's what I think we should do with Devine, and that's where I would play him. And I think if we play him in that role, we'll see a much better player. I really do. So I'd go Sarinola right back. I'd go Hegifuelu and Gibson as the centre-backs. I'd go Galloway as the left back. Houghton, Randall, Devine as mentioned. And again, Whittaker, Hardy, Mumba.
I think that he's just so wedded to the back five that we're going to play a back five. But I think if he was willing to adapt a little, we could play a 5-3-2 or a 3-5-2, put Whittaker up with Hardy so they're both running the channels, put three bodies in the middle, and that will kind of act like the midfield three we had under Schumacher. You could play, you know, your back three. You've got Mumba on the left going up and down, then you've got whichever of Sorinola and Edwards, they're going to swap after an hour to 75 minutes anyway. And then in the middle, you've either got the choice of putting Forshaw or Houghton as the holding midfielder. And then depending which of those you wanted to use, you can then either use three of Randall, Houghton, Forshaw and Devine to provide your attacking two of those to provide you. I'd personally probably go against Bristol City with Forshaw, Houghton and Randall. But you could argue for going, for example, with Forshaw or Houghton and then with Devine and Randall if you want to be a bit more attacking. And then you've got people coming from inside and outside to support the two men up front. And we flood the midfield. We can still play the kind of possession build up, punt it long when we get put under pressure that he wants to, but it doesn't leave Hardy up there on his own. And I think that would be, he's got to try and change something to go back to what we were doing well, which is, you know, getting on the front foot whilst trying to retain some of his identity. This is the manager, and some of his sort of his ethics, you know, some of his sort of footballing identity. That's fine. He can keep some of that, but he can still adapt, play a 3-5-2 and get on the front foot a little bit. I agree
with you, Ben. Adapt is a word not in the dictionary of Ian Foster, according to most of the people in the comments.
Yeah, but I mean, that's something he could do without abandoning his, you know, his philosophy and even saving a bit of face, to be honest. Yeah, we can argue about going to 4-3-3, etc., but I just don't think he's going to do that. But he could. I mean, even yesterday at times, it looked kind of like a 3-5-2. Whittaker was coming inside a bit and Devine was kind of sort of drifting. It looked a bit like a two up front. And I think if you sort of try to work that, put three bodies in the middle, you could really make that work. But he just, you know, seems so wedded to getting the system to work that I think we're going to go down with that ship, metaphorically or literally, for him in terms of his career here.
Yeah, I sort of agree, I think, with the consensus that I would also play a back three, or back four rather, but I do think that Foster will play a back three. I think that is the most likely result. I don't agree with Sam that I would forgive Devine. He has not impressed me at the club, if I'm putting it diplomatically.
Yesterday was like awful. Like, Devine did some really good things. He was the one who played the ball out to Sorinola. He played some really good passes. And Aaron made a really wonderful quote. He said, it's like he's got Velcro on his feet. He plays with the ball sticks to him, like it almost like it did with his ass. He'll run with the ball. He'll turn with the ball. He'll keep it. But then it's like he can't give the ball away in time because he's holding on to it too long, or he makes the wrong pass, or it's not got the right weight. And there were four or five times yesterday where he just made the wrong decision, and it was so conspicuous. And you thought, everyone's going to look at that and groan. He did it four or five times. But also, he did great things. Like I say, he had the pre-assist for the goal. He was off the ball work is brilliant. You can see why Foster loves him, because his off the ball work is brilliant. His positioning is hassling. And it's sort of like, he's much like Phillips. He's a young player who's got these massive flaws that become really apparent when he makes the clear and obvious errors. But there's so much more to his game that if he could, you know, if we could make the most of that, would be really, really good. But like yesterday, he just made some really conspicuous errors, like you say, that were just like, it's halted the flow of attacks at times, that just sort of thought, everyone who's got an agenda, not an agenda, but an opinion here that he's not much good, is just going to eat this up, because he was just, you know, he probably made more conspicuous errors on his own than the rest of the team put together.
I thought it was Randall who got the pre-assist. So I praised Devine about even realising he got the pre-assist. So I think that strengthens my praise of Devine, but perhaps undermines my earlier praise of Randall. So I do think Randall still had a good game overall, even if it was Devine who got that very good pre-assist. I would say, though, Stan, on that one, if you're going to 4-3-3, but you're not playing Devine, who do you play as the third midfielder? Because I think Forshaw, Houghton and Randall is surely like too defensive. You need someone a bit more attacking in that trio, no?
I would play Forshaw. I think certainly when he was at Leeds, Forshaw would often play as a more advanced sort of number eight type midfielder. And obviously I know there's probably a concern with his legs, and particularly coming back off the injuries that he's had, but I do think he can play that role. So I would have Houghton as the deepest lying of the three midfielders. Forshaw is a bit of a sort of box to box, and Randall is sort of box to box as well. I know I sort of agree with you, maybe stylistically, Devine would maybe be the better fit, but I'm really struggling with his recent form, to be honest. And I think, as Ben mentioned, the decision-making and the fact that he makes a lot of conspicuous mistakes in a position where you really need someone who can sort of knit the play together is difficult. I mean, obviously, I think if it was, if JB was here, that would be a perfect position for him. But alas, Obviously, he's got this injury.
No Callum
no,
Wright?
Nobody for Callum Wright. Yeah, that was the name that Rory, I can see, just mentioned in the comment.
Offered the top of Everest or on Mars or wherever it is he is these days.
Well, he's getting in the squad now because of all the injuries, so he's getting splinters in his backside on the bench, which I'm sure he's very annoyed about. I'm sure he'd much rather be off at a restaurant or snorkeling or something. I'm sure he's annoyed about having to sit on the bench.
Never related to a professional footballer, because I would much rather be jetting off somewhere than sitting on a bench in Norwich. No offence to the city. So, yeah, I full support for Callum Wright. I sympathise a lot with him.
I think in answer to Dave's question there, if we play Randall Houghton Forshaw, who's coming off the bench, but you've got Devine, you've got Callum Wright, you've also got the potential to bring, if we're playing 4-3-3, you've got the potential to bring Mumba infield. I think he can play a role there if you want to put someone like Wayne or Wright on the in that in the far left forward position. But yeah, you're right, we are thin. With JB being injured, that sort of all of a sudden we'll go from looking like we've got good rotation to being quite thin in the squad when you've got someone coming back from injury.
Should we do some score predictions for Monday? I'll go last because I'm going to base mine on everyone else's.
I gave mine 1-2 Bristol City away win, the Scott Twine masterclass.
I think we'll get a 1-1, which will prolong the agony, because I don't think it will be enough for the board to sack Ian Foster, but I don't think it will be enough for any of his doubters to shift on him either. So I think a 1-1 that prolongs the purgatory.
Yeah, Sam sort of stolen my thunder. Perhaps not about the prolonging the purgatory or any underlying theme like that. I just think 1-1's a more likely result in this. I think, as I say, it's two Jekyll and Hyde teams going up against each other, and let's be honest about it. I know recent form wouldn't suggest it from our point of view. If this ended 3-0 either way, you probably wouldn't be totally surprised. Bristol City blow hot and cold. We've got it in us. We're capable of doing it. But my gut feeling says 1-1, points are shared, and then the pressure on the Rotherham game only intensifies.
I'm glad I went last, because I am now going to cement my reputation somehow, because anyone who knows me in real life will know I'm not much of an optimist. But I'm going to say we'll win 1-0 with a goal from the resurgent Ryan Hardy.
2-1, I'm with Sandra. I've changed my mind. 2-1, Hardy boys. Love you, Sandra.
Yeah, so that's my prediction. 1-0, home win.
It would be just done. Before we go, I'd like to apologise to all the viewers who got seasick for my very wobbly camera, because my Mac was playing up. I've had to record on my handheld phone, which has meant having to hold my phone at an awkward angle for nearly 2 hours. So to any seasickness, I really do apologise. Hopefully I'll get my issues resolved on my Mac, and I'll be back on my Mac from next week.
Yes, and hopefully... the next pod, we will have our good friend Aaron back after he's finally got over his hangover from celebrating his beloved Norwich as seventh home win on the row, in a row. But in the meantime, it is goodbye from me. It's goodbye from Joe and Ben and Sam. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you. Be sure to tune in around 8 p.m. again on Tuesday, where we'll be having our post-match reaction to Bristol City at home. And make sure to follow us on all the usual platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Subscribe on all your major podcast platforms, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you're watching on YouTube, as I instructed you at the start, make sure to smash that subscribe button. Really helps the channel out. Thank you, everybody, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.